Good morning, church.
What a blessing it is to be here with you. I expressed that sentiment this morning in my Bible class that I was teaching, how amazing it is to see brothers and sisters come together for the purpose of worship, for fellowship, for encouragement, and all the things that we receive when we come together, when we assemble on the Lord's Day. It's a tremendous blessing that far too many people take for granted. You know, during the past year and a half, a lot of people missed out on that. And they realized that they missed it when they didn't realize how much they missed it when they could meet all the time. We need each other. God called us together in community for a reason. It wasn't just so, you know, we wouldn't be out playing golf on Sunday morning. Or fishing, or whatever else that we may find to do on Sunday morning. It's because God knew that we needed time together. I need your encouragement. And from reading the scripture, I know that you need mine as well. It's amazing that when a group of people very diverse in our ideas and our backgrounds and our ages and our education and all of the things that make humans human come together, sing songs, pray, remember, all of the things that we do that in unison. Not because I'm an American, not because I live in Florida, not because I'm a male, not because I'm white, not because of any, whatever demographic you may be, but because we belong to God. And because we belong to God through Jesus Christ, we are one. We are one body. And we need each other. And never lose sight of the fact how much we need each other. We're getting ready to start part two of a two-part lesson on love one another. Last week we looked in John chapter 13, and we're going to revisit that in a couple of minutes. Today we're going to be in 1 John chapter 4, if you want to go ahead and be turning over there in your text. 1 John chapter 4. On both of these occasions, we want to spend time in the text itself. We don't want to be bouncing around too much. We may bring a few things in to help us to see with clarity what is being we're being exposed to there in 1 John. But for the most part, we want to just deal with what the Apostle John is helping us to see. Would you pray with me as we begin? Holy Father, we thank you so much for blessing us today. We thank you for loving us, for demonstrating that love through the giving of your Son. We thank you for this grand opportunity and this special privilege that we have of coming before your throne in worship. We thank you, Father, for inviting us in, for providing the blood of Christ that allows us to boldly come before your throne. We thank you, and we thank you, Father, for once again, an opportunity to hear from you, from your word. Speak to our hearts and minds, Father, and help us to improve in our daily walk, to be changed, to be more like your Son, and to love one another as you have loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. First John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. May God bless the reading of his word. We could talk on this text all year and not exhaust what we've just been taught in these simple words. There's so much here. But I want us to just spend a few moments this morning to encourage us from these texts, from this particular text, about love. 11 times in these short verses, the word love appears. 11 times. And this is not brotherly love. This is not family love. This is not sexual love. This is not any of the other words that describe love. This is agape love. This is the highest form of love. This is the love that causes us to seek the higher good of another, despite their response to us. Now think about that. God sends Jesus into the world to die for people that would reject him because he's love. It didn't matter what others' response was going to be. He was going to show his precious love. That's the type of love that is being described here. And that's where we want to spend a few moments this morning, being encouraged from God's word. The first thing that we're going to notice here in verse 7 is God initiates this love. Love is of God. It has its origin. It has its genesis in God himself. We didn't make it up. We didn't come up with this grand idea of love. God, being love, initiated this love to us and for us. He showers us. He covers us in his love. His people are therefore to show this love to others. You know, it's a great thing that we have, but we're not supposed to keep it to it ourselves. You know, your bank account. And some of us maybe have a little minus sign in front of ours. Some of us, maybe we're in the pluses, but we're not very far in the pluses. And some of us may have a whole lot. But you know, your bank account, the more you take out of it, the less you're going to have. You know how that works, right? Do you know that the more love that you take out of your account to give to somebody else, it never depletes? As a matter of fact, it actually multiplies within you. It's not like your bank account. Because you can give all of it away that's been given to you and you still have as much or more than you had when you began. It's amazing. And God expects us to share this. And not just with one another, but with the whole world. But in this particular context, he's talking to Christians about Christians. Because it's not going to matter. Listen to me. It's not going to matter how much love you show out there if you bring people in here and we're not showing love to each other. We've got to love each other with an undying, never-ending love that God initiated toward us. This love is a distinctive mark. What we talked about last week, that the world would know that we are disciples if we have love one for another. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. When you dig into what the text is saying here, this is not talking about everybody that loves knows God. No, this is talking about everybody that has this love that is God, initiated by God, that was demonstrated by God. When you have that level of love, you are demonstrating that you know God. There's a lot of people out there that love each other. But they don't love each other to this level. You know, we hear a lot of things in the world today, cute sayings, love is love, right? You know, I had a car. It was a 1974 Sunbug Super Beetle. Had the crank sunroof in it. It was gold, not yellow. It was gold. It was a 4-speed. It was an amazing car. It would go through snow. It would go through rain. As long as you keep the bumper above the level of snow where we lived, it'd go. It was a fantastic car. I loved that car, but that's not what we're talking about. See, love is not love until we define our terms. The world will love you when you're like the world, but when you're not like the world will despise you. Christians, on the other hand, are to have love for the world that despises them. That's a delineating factor and characteristic when it comes to true Christian love. A person who is born of God, who is born of water and the Spirit, as Jesus teaches us in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, then becomes a window to the world to see God's love. You know, we talked about it before, about being little Christ walking in the world. And when somebody sees us, they need to see Christ. But you know, we're kind of a window also through which you peer into the love of God. And when people know that you're a Christian and they peer through you and they see prejudice and other types of things that don't demonstrate the love of God, they believe that that's what Christianity is, and that they believe that's what your God is. Because you become that window. Now, that's a tall challenge to us. Because I have feet of clay, and so do you. And we stumble, and we make mistakes. And we do things we ought not, and we say things we ought not. But how we respond to those circumstances demonstrates to the world that we're not like them. When we truly seek to make things right, we truly try to set things in order in our lives, regardless of what has happened. It is better for us to be offended than for us to offend. And as Christians, Jesus already told us, they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. They hated me, they're going to hate you. We know that that's coming. We know that's a part of our existence, but at the same time that's being pointed at us, we turn and we open up a window to God's love to the world. Saul persecuted the church. Jesus appears to him. He obeys the gospel that was hesitantly instructed to him by Ananias. Didn't want to, God, do you know who this Saul is, right? He's telling God who Saul is. Nobody wanted anything to do with Saul. Who comes along? Barnabas. Come here. You come with me. And what happens? He puts his arm around him and he says, guys, he's different now. He's changed. Do you know that that world that hates you and persecutes you, do you understand that when you show that window of love to the world, that there's going to be a Saul along the way somewhere that's going to see that love and react and respond to that love and be changed? There's probably a few Sauls in here this morning that are now Paul because you've been changed by the love of God. Love expresses itself in loving as Jesus loved us. As we discussed last week, we talked about the mandate of love, that command to love one another. That the manner to one another and the model, as I have loved you, that's the love that we show. It expresses itself in how we treat other people. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7 and verse 12, the golden rule. I can remember going to school and we actually had rulers. And they were wooden. And they had stenciled on them, do unto others as you'd have others do unto you. This is in public schools, folks. It's the way it used to be. Now, what harm could come by having children ages 6 through 18 seeing that every day on their desk? What harm could possibly come from that? Do to others as you would have them do to you. That's what the golden rule is. Jesus says, whatever it is that you would for men to do to you, do likewise unto them. In other words, before you interact with someone, put yourself in their shoes and say, how would I want to be treated sitting or standing right there? Verse 8 says, if you don't love, you don't know God. If you don't have this type of love, you can say that you know God, but you don't. He who does not love does not know God. We've got to commune with God through prayer and through study. And if we fail to do that, we are not going to be able to be that instrument that God needs to reach a lost and dying world. There's somebody in your life that only you can reach. You don't know who that person is. You don't know when they're going to come your way. But you've got to be that instrument. You've got to be prepared at whatever point in time that that person comes into your life. If you don't love, you don't know God. Why? Because love is the essence of who God is. Love isn't what God does. It's who He is. He is love. This is, in my estimation, perhaps the most profound statement in all of Scripture. God is love. We just sang it. You know, sometimes we sing it and we're too busy listening to how beautiful that song sounds to think about how magnificent that statement is. That God is love. Now, as we talked about last week, remember, this is coming from the apostle that wanted to rain down fire on a Samaritan village. He's changed a little bit, hasn't he? He's been impacted by Christ to the point that now he's telling others, if you don't love, you don't know God. Well, what was going on in your life when you were calling down fire on a Samaritan village there, John? He didn't know God the way that he needed to know God. But that changed. And if you're calling down fire on Samaritan villages, whatever that looks like in your life right now, you know, be encouraged that you can change. Be encouraged by that. This love was demonstrated. The essence of who God is was manifested. It was demonstrated. It was revealed to us. He didn't keep it to himself. He didn't hide it from us. He didn't shade it. He didn't veil it. He demonstrated it. It was revealed. He opened the doors wide and said, this is my love for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He demonstrated, he revealed, he manifested that love. Paul writes in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't get it. But I'm a man. I'm not God. We talked about this last week in our Bible class about understanding, you know, Jesus being God and man. And, you know, it's because we're all man. We're no God. We can't understand that. And I can't understand God knowing that this world would reject him. This blows me away. When you read scriptures like he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, a plan that was hatched in eternity past before the foundation of the world was ever laid, before human beings were ever formed from the dust, our past grandparents, Adam and Eve, when he breathes life into them, this is before that ever happened. God, being all-knowing, knew they would go to that tree. Knew they would turn their back on him. And knew that every one of their descendants would do the same thing. That's you and me. He knew that we would break his heart. And before he ever made us, he says, I'm going to show them my love. Now, I don't understand that. Intellectually, I do. But deep down inside of me, I can't understand that motivation. If you had a choice to be self-sufficient in eternity with no hassles, no problems, no heartache, no nothing, would you make a being that would break your heart over and over again? From a human point of view, we can't understand that fully. But God, while we were still sinners, sent Jesus to die for us. In this is love. Not our love for God, but God's love for us. You see, we've got a bad problem in humanity is we want to shape God in our image. We want to create a God that looks like us. And we want to make it out like we're something special that God ought to be real lucky that he's got us to love. Nothing could be further from the truth. When you consider the depravity of sin and how horrible sin is and the fact that all of us, when we reach that stage in our life, we're going to choose wrong and we're going to bring sin into our lives, that every single one of us was undeserving of 1 ounce of attention from God because of that. And so we didn't demonstrate to him how much we loved him. Rather, he demonstrated to us how much he loved us. As a result of these things, when we get down to verse 11, therefore, as Jesus had told John many years earlier, along with the other disciples, that the world will know that you're my disciples. If you have love one for each other, loving each other as I have loved you. He comes along here after all of this. God is love. If you don't love, you don't know God because it's the essence of who he is. He demonstrated his love. He manifests his love for us. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us. Now, verse 11. If God so loved us. Have you seen that so loved before in the scripture? Have you seen it? Where did we see that? John 3:16. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I see Christians breaking each other's hearts all the time. And I see them doing it in such a way that there are people who are outside of Christ that see that. And in seeing that, they've now built a wall so high and so thick to insulate that person from the true love of God that they may never be reached. Just because of one instant. But we can change that. We can change that right here. And we can change that right now. And before we get out those doors today, we can change that by going to somebody that we've got an issue with and we can make it right. Because if we don't do it, who's going to do it? Who's going to fix this mess that we've created? Who's going to demonstrate to this city and this county and this state, if it's not the people of God, what God is like? Because the world has its own idea. And they're inventing a God after their own image. Oh, he just loves everybody. Yeah, he does. But they confuse love with acceptance. And they don't understand that there's more to it than that. It is the essence of who he is, but he's also a holy God. He is also a just God. And he is also a God whose wrath has been demonstrated before. And when we talk about Jesus sending his son, or God sending his son Jesus into the world to bear our sins, the wrath of God was poured out on his only begotten son when he took our punishment. I've read about it, and I see what happened to Jesus, and I don't want that. Do you want that? I don't want that. I want that gift that comes through Jesus Christ of eternal salvation. I want pardon and forgiveness of my sins. I want a relationship with my Heavenly Father and my Savior Jesus Christ. And I can't have any of those things if I'm not loving my brothers as myself. Because you don't get to pick and choose. It all comes as a package deal. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. When we think about loving each other, are we truly demonstrating this love by the words that we say and the things that we do? Are we truly helping others to a better place and a better understanding? I pray that we are. And I pray that the things that we learned last week, the things that we've built upon this week in studying loving one another, that we will carry those things forward in our lives, that we will be that image that the world needs to see to understand what love truly looks like. God loves you, and God wants you to be the very best that you can be. Through the strength of Christ, he'll make it happen. But we have to be willing to make that change. Are you willing today? We're about to sing a song to encourage us this morning. And maybe where you're sitting right now, maybe you've thought about some things that are just not quite right in your life, and you want to make a change with those things. Is it something we can help you with? Can we pray with you? Can we pray for you? Can we encourage you today as you seek to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as you seek to grow in how you love one another? Maybe you're here today and you've never been born again by water and the Spirit? Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? That's where you start. It all starts with believing in Him. Are you willing to confess your belief this morning that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing to turn from the sins in your life that Jesus willingly died for on that cross, paying that horrible price for your sins? And will you this day humble yourself and submit to being buried in water, just as Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose the third day? You'll be buried and raised to walk in newness of life, having your sins washed away, being clothed in Christ, being added to His body. We can help you with that this morning, but we can't do what we don't know. And whatever your need is, please make it known to us as together we stand and sing this morning.